This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. With events coming to a halt last year and then opening and closing whenever a movement control order is announced, how do you survive in this industry if you have an event space where it's not just about competition, but the ability to open it? I'm here with Jermaine B of the ARC Event Space to discuss more. Good morning, Jermaine.
Hi, morning, Frida.
You know,
it's nice to be back and to speak to you.
Right, of course, Jermaine used to work here at BFM as well. You know, what was your vision of this space when you opened the ARC?
Okay, so when I opened the ARC, I guess, you know, personally, I was with BFM and I was, you know, doing community events, right, Frida? Mm. It was all about just gathering people together, creating meaningful conversations, doing events, and just coming up with different sort of interventions to gather people together. So, okay, 3 kids happened, right? So I couldn't continue on full-time employment.
All at BFM.
Yes, all at BFM, correct. How productive, right? So then in 3 years, I had 3 kids and it was crazy to continue with full-time employment. But I figured that a stay-at-home mom is something that I may not have the calling for yet.
Right.
So I thought, hey, why not do something that I can still look after my kids, but have a bit more time, but still can, you know, do what I want to do. And having the passion of just, you know, building communities and just bringing people together,
right.
I wanted to create a space, right, for which is, you know, conducive, which has like everything that you need. Because previously I was going around looking for different event spaces or venues to scatter people together. So I figured, hey, a couple of things that not all venues have, and I wanted to kind of consolidate everything that I needed or look for in an event space and come up with my own, right? Mm. So yeah, that was what had happened. We started off in July 2019 and things were pretty all right, actually, for the first 6 months before, of course, COVID hit us. And the whole of 2020, we were just doing the accountings recently, right? And I was just sharing with my husband, in just 2 hours, I completed the entire 2020 accountings, the books. So I was like, oh dear. But I guess similarly to a lot of... I mean, we can laugh about it now, but truth is, it's really painful just coming out with, our savings and, you know, just to keep afloat. But I think similarly to all other industries, especially in the tourism, hospitality line, you know, in F&B, as long as we're dealing with gathering people or having people coming together, we're all badly affected. So,
right. In normal times, how many people can the ARC fit?
So in normal times, during good times, especially since July to December 2019, we looked at the most, we actually hosted Hannah Tan, with a community of women and just encouraging women, 120 packs.
Right.
Yeah, 120 packs.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a really good crowd. But then now during COVID times, before MCO, of course, we could fit up to about 70 people comfortably with SOPs, with the social distancing and whatnot.
Right, of course, and then things have taken a hiatus yet again. Now, when you know, very interesting, because you said you were taking care of community at BFM and you were always looking at venues and all that, right? Did we have a shortage of event spaces before this, you know, with hotels and other event spaces? And I guess my question is, what's your niche, right? What did you see was missing in your research out there? I think the main factor be price, though?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so there are a couple of things, actually, Frida. When I went around, hunting for venue spaces, so it depends on what the event is for, right? If we're looking at, like, workshops or seminars, then we are looking at the basic needs, like the projector, the sound system, and, of course, tables and chairs and whatnot. And then if you're looking at parties, you need to have, of course, we're looking at then a good ambience, an environment, cozy sort of feeling, with less of a formal sort of seating arrangements. And then we also have things which are, you know, more young and hip, right? Where we want, when we had sponsors coming over and just wanted to do something a little different. So then I was thinking about a couple of things, like, okay, I would like to combine everything and to be as versatile as possible. So I guess our niche is that we try to cater to as many events as possible. So if you want to have your workshops or your seminars, we have the projector, we have the sound system, we have the formal table and chair seatings. And we have places for food and all that. We have a small pantry. Then if you're looking at like, you know, parties or gathering, intimate gathering for family and friends, then we were like, okay, we also have that. So I wanted to make sure that we also have the aesthetic part of it, right? So we, it needs to like look pleasant, you know, not just like bare white walls with white ceiling and all that. So we have OSB boards. We had, we added like chalkboards. We added like different sort of designs, feature walls, so that it looks pretty at the same time. Then we also thought like, okay, what about people who might want to do fitness or, you know, simple things like, you know, if they want, they need a mirror, right? So then we decided, okay, why don't we have a huge mirror as well in the front, so we can also cater to people who want to just come to do exercises or fitness or, you know, workshops of such. Then we also thought, okay, you know, some people may not want or may not have the budget for such a big space, right? And to pay so much. So then we thought, okay, let's do like a little door partition thing, right? To separate the hall in two spaces. The, you know, in the event where people want to organize small scale events, like, you know, 10, 20 packs, then they only use half the space with total privacy at a very affordable price. But if they want like a bigger one, like, you know, like I mentioned, we had like up to 120 packs. Then we open up the entire space and then you get the whole full space with, again, still affordable price. We're based in Sri Hartamas and we all know places around Sri Hartamas, Monkara, Bangsa, they're all slightly on the high side. But again, we wanted to make it affordable for people because our goal was really to just gather people together, you know, have meaningful sessions together. And it's only doable if it's, you know, affordable as well. So we decided to go on that level. So we don't make much from every event, but we go for quantity.
Right. Yeah. And I understand you organize events for very small groups too, right? From how small? And is that also a selling factor?
Yes. So recently we have, you know, with COVID times and all that, we've had even as small as just 5 packs.
Okay.
So it was... Yeah, it was a strategy meeting for a team of people. And, you know, they just wanted to come together. They haven't met in a while, but then they also don't want to go out there in the public because 5 packs, you could actually do it in a restaurant or, you know, somewhere where you don't need to book the whole space. But they wanted like pure privacy, like total privacy. And they wanted just, you know, to be the 5 of them on their own. So they asked us and we said, yes, let's, you know, we could cater to your needs, to your budget. Let's do this. And so yeah, 5 packs, that was the smallest.
And I guess you have the equipment. If they need your whiteboard and whatever, it's still, you know, you can still do and you can still have all these facilities and have your food and have like a business discussion as well, right? And you know, did you, so I guess, you know, did you, was business slowly coming back to normal though? You know, we had some non-MCO periods.
Yes. So so the thing is this, right? Every time when the MCO is lifted up, even with CNCO, our business picks up very quickly. So for April alone, we actually had up to 8 events from zero the month before. So and I'm looking at, you know, 8 events is actually a really good number for us as we, you know, start off because of, you know, the fear of COVID and all that. So that's the thing, right? We always, so we are still holding on to this business, right? With whatever we have, because we see that as much as, you know, COVID is still not showing a lot of positivity with the entire situation, but we believe that the way forward is for people to, you know, people still need the interaction. They still need to come together. And we believe that we can do that in, there is a demand for smaller scale events moving forward. And we believe that our sort of space can actually cater, the event space size and pricing would actually fit such a demand. So we're just trying to keep afloat as for now. We're doing a lot of other things, actually. We're pivoting into many different sort of ideas.
And we'll talk about, you know, what you had to do and how you had to pivot after this. I'm with Jermaine B. From the ARC Event Space. You're listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Jermaine B of the ARC event space. We're talking about, you know, event venues and how they had to change and survive during this, you know, this trying period. So Jermaine, you said you also had to pivot, right, during this period. What did you do?
Yes, so we had to pivot, you're right. So you see, when the first MCO 1.0, right, we were all asked to shut, you know, our businesses and all that. And it was something that a lot of us couldn't accept, right, because it was new, we didn't know what to do and all that. But then we realized that being in our industry, it's a very, you know, we gather people together, we get people coming together and okay, like, we felt a bit guilty that we were probably also the cause for some clusters. But thankfully, so far, no clusters from our event space. Thank God. You know, we were all good. But what we then thought about was we started to think, okay, maybe we could do, we could start working together with different companies to provide COVID essentials. So we started off with that. The usual, before everybody started doing that as well. So we already started to do simple things like, you know, selling masks and all that when it was, there was a huge shortage. I was blessed because my husband is in this, I was in this line. So he could also assist me to just provide me with, you know, good suppliers, contacts and all that. So that was what we did initially in 1.0. And then we went on to also do a little bit more gift businesses. Like, so Christmas gifts, Mother's Day gifts. So we started doing a little bit of gift boxes and packages. Again, you know, at least if they can't come together to have, you know, events and interactions, but at least they can still interact and send love and thoughts, right? So we thought, okay, gift packages might work. So we get, we got into that. And so the thing about us is we don't want to just make money. We are all about making sure that it's meaningful. You know, it has a bigger purpose. So apart from just, you know, gaining all the profits to ourselves, we decided to also work with different homes. So we started off with also working with special needs homes, you know, with single mothers, to see what we can kind of put together to sell certain things. And then, you know, we always do the whole 50% and above sort of thing, profit go to them. And again, we don't sell in a crazy high price because we want to make sure it's affordable. People will feel like, you know, hey, I want to support, I want to donate, but I don't want to go, you know, I don't have money as well, you know, it's bad time right now. So then we kept it at a really low price. But then, you know, making sure that we could cover the costs. So what we did was with Christmas packages last year was pretty interesting. We worked with Gem and Bread, so the Special Needs Center. And then we came up with this interesting Christmas gift package. They have their cookies and their biscuits and all that. So we kind of helped them to curate sort of gift boxes. And then we pay them for the cost of those things, right? Because we use their items, right? And then, but what we do is then we package them nicely because they don't have the time or the skill to do that. So we do the packaging and then we sell it. And on top of the sales, we actually then gave them up to 90% profit. We only took 10% just to, you know, ensure that we have our boxes and the decorations sort of charges covered. So then, yeah, it was something that we felt, okay, Christmas was about, you know, the spirit of giving. You know, we still wanted to keep ourselves interactive, you know, in a sense, but we also wanted to let our clients or our customers know that you can do this and that, but, you know, at an affordable level. At the same time, a lot of people ask me, like, right, hey, why are you so foolish? You know, you should do like at least 50% for yourself to be sustainable, right? But again, we learned from it. We learned from it. We thought, okay, maybe we were a little too ambitious to give like up to 90% away and then we don't get anything at all. But it was a nice touch to it at the end of the day. So at Christmas time, we managed to collect up to about close to 2,000 ringgit. And, you know, we passed on the money. We donated to the center and they were really, really happy. And so recently, they, you know, we spoke again and then they said that they have interestingly came up with scones and bread and then they got me to try and I'm like, hey, these are really good stuff, you know. So then we started working out together on something and we are now coming up with an MCO 3.0 care package of, you know, for people to send love and thoughts through food. we all need food, and we all get happy when we receive food.
We know you need a lot of food. But I think also, like, during doing this, right, people remember the name, right? The ARC event space, even though there are no events happening at the moment. I think just to, so that people still remember the name, that's an important thing to do.
Yes. So that the other thing that, of course, we had the social media consultant who also told us at the end of the day, don't worry about the money as yet, because then you're also doing somewhat marketing, but, you know, organically, right? So we were like, okay, not too bad then.
Right. Yeah. You know, how do you, in terms of your event space, right, how do you ensure SOPs adhere to, you know, in terms of the cleaning of the place, sanitizing of the place? What do you guys do?
Okay, so we have very strict SOPs. We came up with actually a sheet, like an SOP guideline, where we you know, the usual, like the temperature checks, and, you know, if you're going to, you know, the whole social distancing, wearing masks at all times unless you're eating, you know, even for buffet tables, you know, if it's a buffet setup, they need to engage two other waiters to also assist with, you know, serving the food, making sure that no sort of guests would, you know, attend the food themselves. So we have an entire COVID SOP guidelines will be passed to our, you know, clients, and every client that come in. And then we also advise them to send to all their guests. So at least when they come to our space, they're prepared, you know, to know what they need to do, you know, and how strict it is. Because to a certain extent, the space is private, right? And so some people may take it lightly, thinking that, hey, it feels like a home, right? It feels like my home, my house.
Right.
Some people remove their masks. They don't adhere to SOPs, like you said. But we ensure that we have like an event sort of coordinator for every of our events to ensure that these SOPs are also being carried out. So far, we must say that people have been compliant. I think also because we, you know, we address the seriousness of it, and we actually look into it very, very carefully. We also tell them that, you know, we can't be responsible should there be authorities coming, you know, doing random checks, and then, you know, finding, you know, doing fines, for, you know, we end up getting fines for ourselves. So we do a lot of this whole telling them about the seriousness of it. So we're thankful so far all our clients have been very cooperative with that as well.
Right. You know, prior to this, right, did you find your space was used more for corporate or private events?
So it's a mix actually, Frida. So we had a lot of corporate clients who come to do workshops and seminars, even as simple as just their town hall meeting, just you know, for a different feel. Yeah. But we also have a lot of intimate sort of family gatherings for their family and friends, birthday parties. We have a lot of kids' birthday parties, you know, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-years-old.
Sounds and like your
I guess
kids.
Because we are... around that age, right? So, yeah, I mean, personally for ourselves also, we end up doing a lot of our own functions in our space now, right? Yeah, because I guess it's also very safe, right, for people. It's just one floor above 7-Eleven in Plaza Damas. And that one floor is not too high up. So it's just a very small flight of stairs. But it's safe because, you know, when kids come together, they might run in and out. Right. So I suppose if it's in the ground floor, parents have a little bit more worry that kids would just run off and then get to where all the cars are. But because we are just one flight of stairs up, right? And then we are like in an enclosed area. So the parents probably feel a lot safer.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, what we got from a couple of parents.
How has it been as a business owner whenever you have to stop and start your business? You know, how has that affected planning? You know, like with F&B, this means buying or cancelling stock at the last minute. What about in events?
Yeah, so our business all fluctuates at the moment, right? I guess, like I mentioned earlier, similarly to all other businesses, F&B, entertainment, tourism, as long as we are, you know, because we are all considered non-essential during COVID times. But then, so that's why I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of dilemma, right? We're keeping to the current business models. Or, you know, we have many talks also whether we should start to probably change the entire business model into something else. So we're actually also thinking about doing something else, like probably turning the space to photo shoot studios. So we're actually in a work, we're working out this concept with a couple of photographers, because then photo shoot studios might make more sense during COVID times, because you're coming together in your own family, right? It's like basically you're living at home, so you're just coming together, in your family, in your small 5 to 6 circle of people, which we are planning to do. And then you come in every like half an hour slot sort of thing. And then we sanitize and disinfect the space. Right. And then we get on to that again. But see, the thing is, we, like I mentioned earlier, we still have a lot of space that people still need the interactions. They still need, you know, together. You know, but we also believe that it would be smaller in terms of scale moving forward. So we are still, you know, keeping ourselves going.
Right.
In terms of how we feel about it, I guess it's like emotional roller coaster, right? And I guess I can't say it for myself alone, because right. I know a lot of people are also facing this. So that's why I believe a lot in collaborations, a lot in working together with people. Because right now, we need to share the pie, right? We need to share whatever we have, resources, sharing the pie, resources, the you know, just keeping each other encouraged, and keep the positivity going as well.
Right.
So that is the other thing that I wanted to talk about, Frida. We are not making money right now. We cannot operate, right? But we still don't want to keep ourselves in the dark. Apart from, of course, we know some of the things that we do would still keep our name out there. And we really hope that would also in turn be the sort of people will have us in mind like when they want to have events in the future. But what we want to do now is also to keep the spirit up, right? So we organize contests for Mother's Day, for Teachers' Day. And hey, you know, not many emphasis on teachers, and but at the same time, you know, teachers are going through a lot of hassle with COVID, with them also going through, you know, Zoom videos, coming up with different sort of learning methods to still engage with students. So not much emphasis, but we wanted to keep the positivity going. So we asked for people to join the contest and to share, you know, how they appreciate their teachers.
Right.
So I guess little things like that, right, Frida? But, you know, I feel like it would keep the, you know, the positivity going, and people, the vibes will all be lifted up.
Right.
Instead of all feeling dull and, you know, sad, which it is the situation right now, but let's not focus too much on that.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing as well.
Okay, so final question and wish list, right? You know, is there any way authorities can make it easier for owners of event spaces, you know, if you had it your way?
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, if they can have a more structured sort of SOP guideline for us, because right now we're just taking bits and pieces of SOPs, because, you know, like, okay, we have the F&B side of things, so we look at the F&B SOPs. Then, okay, events, so, okay, weddings can, small scale, okay, seminars, okay, can jalan, because with HRDF funds also now that we are contributing. So we're just taking bits and pieces from everywhere right now.
Right.
But we hope that they would have a proper SOP for event spaces, for sort of venues, spaces. So we have a more firm guideline. For now, what I've been doing is actually to reach out to the nearest police station to get letters and to see what we can and cannot do. But again, different police stations seems to also have different sort of SOP guidelines, right? So yeah, that would be really helpful to us if there is like one fixed guideline for event spaces and venue providers. Because right now, I don't think there is. It's just on, they focus on like just events in general,
right?
Like what kind of events can you run, but what about the SOPs for us in the event spaces or venue providers? We have been just taking bits and pieces from everywhere, so it would be helpful for us if there is such a guideline
and making up your rules along the way. Thanks for spending the morning with us, Jermaine B from the ARC Event Space. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.